The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, before we start a new hour here, check out what I guess we could describe as artwork last night during the game between the Wild and the Coyotes. This is called a cup snake, and they may have broken the record for the longest in history. These people just drink a lot of beer and then make a snake out of the cups. Dominique?
I don't drink beer, though, so, but I would be down for a cup snake. I mean,
I love it. I love it. I'm all for stuff like this. I love the wave. I love anything that's silly at sporting events. Yes, get all up in it.
They need to put some mask on or something. No, they're all close to each other.
Look how long this thing is. How many beers can these people possibly? Well, that's a rhetorical question, I suppose. But I don't know. If they ever make a White Claw snake, then maybe I'll jump in on all that. Okay. With all of that and more, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. We are live at the Seaport, as always. We are brought to you by Chase. You just saw Tim and Booger with us. Dominique is here. Kimberly is here. Paul and Heather coming in a minute as well, because we are getting up with the Flighting Irish. That's one of our top stories today. With BK now at LSU, things have gone from bad to worse for ND. That happened last night, and we'll explain how in just a matter of moments. Then, the heat is on Zeke, and it's coming from the most important place, a day before the Cowboys have to absolutely beat New Orleans tomorrow night. And then, Mike Tomlin saying the last thing you were expecting to hear about the criticism of his team. All that and more as we get up with you starting right now. With all that, we begin with the game of the night. The two best teams in the NBA played last night in the desert. Steph Curry and the West leading Warriors taking on the red hot Devin Booker and the Suns. All right, this is a bad moment. Devin Booker, it's a hamstring going to the hole on Otto Porter Jr. He would leave. He would not return. We are waiting for an update on his status. He stayed for the rest of the game, just didn't play. Meanwhile, Steph Curry had a tough night. Look at DeAndre Ayton getting out and playing defense. Steph, just 3 of 14 in the first half. Now, midway through the fourth, Suns up one. Chris Paul attacking. Yes, he had 15. Suns up 3. 4.5 to go. Suns lead is 1. Get it to Paul. Get it to Crowder in the corner for 3, and it's good. He had 14. Booker loves it. Next Suns possession. It's Paul again. It's Crowder again. The Suns lead it by 6. Other end of the floor. Draymond Green. Steph. Steph had a tough night. 12 points. 4 of 21 from the floor. Just over 3 minutes to go. Suns up 5. Chris Paul. Floater. Oh, they've got it. They win their 17th straight. Phoenix 104, Golden State 96. The 17 straight wins, tying a franchise record set back at 06-07. Phoenix finishes the month of November 16-0. Last team that had a month that good, the Warriors, the year they won 73. I've been saying it all along. The Suns are the best team in the NBA right now. Meanwhile, college football playoff rankings are out, and Georgia is the best team in college football. No surprise, they're still number one. They've been number one in every ranking this season. They seem assured of getting into the playoff, even if they lose this weekend. Michigan moves up 3 spots to number 2 after knocking off Ohio State. Wolverines have never made the playoff. They seem as though if they win, they're a lock. Then there's Alabama. They're at 3. They most likely need to beat Georgia this weekend to get into the dance. It would be their 7th time in 8 years if they do. And then at 4, holding steady, Cincinnati looking to make history. The Bearcats an 87% chance to make the playoff with a win Saturday over Houston. And then Oklahoma State and Notre Dame fill it out there as at 5 and 6. 5 of the previous 7 years of the playoff, a team outside the top 4 at this juncture wound up making it. So we'll see if one of those two does get in. And as promised, here are Heather and Paul. And let's just for catch up anybody, Heather, for those who didn't watch it last night, on what the committee chair said about the departure of Brian Kelly, the timing of that, and how it could impact Notre Dame.
Greeny, Selection Committee Chair Gary Barta said yesterday that after all of the conference championship games have been played, that's when the Selection Committee will consider potentially how the absence of Brian Kelly with Notre Dame could impact Notre Dame in the postseason. It's part of their protocol. But I should point out, it's one of several tiebreakers that the committee can use to help distinguish among comparable teams. The question is, do they have to use those tiebreakers? Is Notre Dame comparable at 11-1 with no conference championship and no CFP top 25 wins? Remember, Wisconsin dropped out last night, so their best wins are against unranked Wisconsin and Purdue.
Yeah, exactly. So let's get there. Paul, there's a lot of different ways chaos could ensue this weekend. Is there any in which, in your view, Notre Dame winds up in the dance?
It's a very slight window, Greeny, and it would have to be absolute carnage because I think Notre Dame would lose tiebreakers against a couple of other schools. They don't play in a conference, so they don't have a conference game. That normally hurts you. If everyone loses, then maybe that would help them because they're sitting at home. But my gut feeling is Notre Dame and Brian Kelly and Baton Rouge is going to sit this one out.
Yeah, the next time, Brian Kelly might wind up in the Final Four at some point soon, but it won't be there. All right, meanwhile, let's go to the SEC. And, Booger, let's go to the championship game there. Georgia is in. Alabama, we think, needs a victory here. They're a 6.5-point underdog. How do they do it? How does Alabama win this game?
Well, Alabama, I think, has the best quarterback in the country in Bryce Young. His poise, his accuracy, how he plays. I think he's going to be a Heisman Trophy winner, Greeny. So does he have his Heisman moment against the best defense that maybe we've seen in the last decade in college football? Alabama has talent. This is just not up to the level that we're used to seeing. So I think the game is going to be close. I do expect Georgia to win. I think they pull away and maybe win by double digits toward the end. And so if that being the case, Greeny, if we expect Alabama to lose, Cincinnati has taken on Houston. Oh, by the way, Houston is 11-1. That game could go either way. Then you look at Oklahoma State going against a Baylor team that is playing really, really well. To Paul's point about Notre Dame, I can see a path that's really, really easy where Notre Dame is sitting there 11-1. If Alabama loses, Cincinnati loses, okay, we're going to say Michigan wins, then what do we do with Notre Dame? I think Notre Dame, those players, Jack Swarbrick, everyone is sitting there saying, we have just as good a shot as anyone right now, and we don't play. Now, you would love to control your own fate, but they don't. But I think we could sit here Monday morning and be like, yeah, that was pretty easy for Notre Dame to get in.
Well, let's give it a different scenario, Paul. How about Alabama losing a very close game to Georgia? One of these, like, the nonsense that is the overtime, in my opinion, but whatever, that we saw last week against Auburn. If they lose some kind of game like that, is there a path for Nick to get in with two losses?
I think so. If there's a lot of carnage, and if you have the Notre Dame-Alabama comparison the Booger was referring to, I think the committee very likely would go with Alabama if it's a narrow loss, because Alabama has played a much better schedule than Notre Dame. Yes, they would have a loss at Texas A&M and a loss to the number one team, but they played a lot of ranked teams, including Ole Miss, which they beat by double digits, which is now a top 10 team.
Yeah.
Notre Dame just doesn't have very much, and I think that's really going to be their problem.
There's nothing better than when everyone is disagreeing, and that is, I guess, the beauty of the sport.
Well, Greeny, here's the thing I was saying. This committee has never put a two-loss team in. So yeah. What do we think, or why do we think this would be the year they would put a two-loss team in, Paul?
They may have to, is the point. Well, they could come a scenario.
Yeah, the only thing I would say to that, Booger, is the committee does change every year. This isn't the Supreme Court that's been sitting there for a long time, although the Supreme Court hasn't been sitting there for a long time. I think it's difficult, but there have been points in the past where a two-loss team could have gotten in. Auburn could have been the SEC champion 3 years ago or 4 years ago with two losses. But it's unlikely. But I think the fact that Alabama would be coming off of a narrow loss to the best team in the country, which there is no dispute over, would give them an advantage.
All right, one more thing I have to get in here quickly, or I want to, because it's very important. Heather, tell everybody why what you are covering today is such a potentially monumental day for the sport.
Because, Greeny, I think college football fans are going to hear a resolution from the CFP Management Committee one way or another. That means at the end of the day today, I think they either walk out of that meeting and say, we can't agree, we're going to stay at four teams for the rest of this playoff through 2025, or they're going to walk out of the room and they're going to say, we're going to expand to 12 teams. One of those two things I think will happen. The least likely, least popular option is kicking the can down the road again for a few more weeks or to the national championship in January. Nobody wants to do that. These guys are tired of it, but they still don't agree.
All right. And again, Heather will be there with all the coverage all day long. Just outstanding, guys. Thank you so much. What a fascinating little juncture we have in college football. Meanwhile, to the NFL, where the weekend starts tomorrow and the Cowboys have a big game against the Saints. And we don't know yet if they're going to have their star receiver Amari Cooper back. He's still in question. He tested positive for COVID 2 weeks ago. He is still yet to practice with the team. He was eligible to come back on Monday, but he has not yet been at practice. And of course, the game is tomorrow night. And you know, we had a debate earlier this morning here about whether this is a must win for the Cowboys or not. And at the end of the day, let's put that to the side, because that's really not what is important. What may be important is, have the expectations changed? Which is to say, a month ago, we were talking Super Bowl for this team. Is it still Super Bowl or bust for the Cowboys, in your opinion, right now, Neek?
I think so. Yeah, I think that even given their current lull, is that we're going to chalk that up to like it being a long season. I think their talent has not disappeared. The way that their defense has improved, like that's still a consistent thing that they can depend on. And this kind of window that they have with this quarterback. I think right now, as long as Dak is under this contract, this is win now time. And the way that this team, particularly the offense, performed early in the season, as we know, this has become more and more an offensive league. So yes, I think the expectation is that they are still a Super Bowl contender.
Everything Neek just said is why earlier I said this is a must win. Mm-hmm. Because of the window for Dak, because of the talent on this roster, because of the expectations we had in the preseason and when the season started. It's not about the NFC East. This team is too good to be just, oh, they should win the division, okay, and then bow out some. No, this team is built to win a Super Bowl, and if they don't, that window closes, and that's part of the issue.
Tim Hasselbeck, let me get you in here. We were talking at great length on this show and others about the Cowboys as a Super Bowl team. Has the last month changed that in your view and your vision and expectation for them?
No, but I think I need to go back further than a month. Go back to the beginning of the season, prior to the season, of what anybody thought of this Dallas team. I mean, they were so bad on defense a year ago that Mike McCarthy, after 1 year, fires defensive coordinator. And so, Greeny, were people excited about them? And so maybe did expectations change because of the beginning part of the season? Sure. I have never seen them in Mike McCarthy's second year as a Super Bowl or bust team. I think that people should be happy with the progress. I think that they are a team that maybe can contend, but like I don't believe they're on the same level as Green Bay, and the last month didn't change that. I've felt like that since prior to the season. So, look, this isn't a must-win. We talked about that. I know that's not the conversation here. They're going to win their division. They're going to be in the postseason. They're going to get a chance to host a playoff game. Like, that is a good thing, and that is where this organization was trying to head, and Mike McCarthy's leading them that way.
What do you think, Booger?
Yeah, Greeny, they are still a Super Bowl team. When they are healthy, I just go back to the first game of the season. When they came down here to Tampa, everybody was healthy. They went toe-to-toe with the Buccaneers. And Greeny, the very next day, you came on the show and you said, Dak Prescott looks like he belongs in the top five quarterback position or the top mm-hmm. five quarterbacks in the league position. So when you say that, Greeny, that tells me that their ceiling is right there with the best teams in the league. So why have we changed? Just because we're at a midway point in the season or toward the end and like they're not playing well? They're going to wind up with 11 or 12 wins. They're going to get healthy, and then they'll get in the dance. And Neek and Tim, you guys know this. Once you get in the dance, all we want is an opportunity and a chance, and then it becomes a matchup game. Do they match up well against the Bucs? Do they match up against Arizona? Where's the game played against Green Bay? That'll determine whether or not this team goes to the Super Bowl. But they will be in the dance, and as a player, that's all we want. Give us an opportunity, and may the best team win.
All right, we will see. I would tell you, if they lose on Thursday night, that object in the rearview mirror that's coming on a lot faster than you might think is actually the Washington football team. Meanwhile, the Steelers are falling apart. Wait till you hear how Mike Tomlin is responding to the intense criticism of his team. You'll hear that coming up in moments. And what is going on with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore? How concerned should we be about all the interceptions? We're talking about all that in a moment. And we're seeing if Neek can take care of this one from Sneaky Hembo. Here we go. Which quarterback leads the NFL in fourth quarter comebacks this season? That's the question. The answer is next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
I know this one.
Thank you.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Come on, get up. All right, here we go. The debate is running fast and furious in the studio. Everyone's got to guess. Which quarterback leads the league in fourth quarter comebacks this year, Neek?
I think that it's a Lamar trap. I think that's what Himbo said here. It's a Lamar trap. I don't think the answer is Lamar. I'm thinking maybe Kirk Cousins, Mac Jones, Ryan Tannehill in that neighborhood. I'm going to trust my man, Brandon. Mac Jones.
That is incorrect.
Oh!
The answer is Justin Herbert.
What?
Justin Herbert with five. Lamar, in fact, Mac Jones isn't even on this list. Lamar Jackson has four. Ben Roethlisberger, Ryan Tannehill, and Matt Ryan have three each. So I would say good guess, but that would, and
that would be a lie.
It would be unfair. Be
bad guess.
It was actually a terrible guess. The correct answer is Herbert. Lamar Jackson is next, and he's our next stop. Baltimore. The Ravens are 8-3. They are right now the number one overall seed in the AFC. Now, Lamar did throw a career-high four picks, and it went over Cleveland on Sunday in what has been, I suppose you could say, something of an up-and-down season. Three of those four picks last week came on throws between the numbers. That gives him seven picks on that kind of throw in the last five games compared to just one in the first five games this year. Teams have been blitzing more on those throws, perhaps giving opponents a recipe for success. And so it's kind of confounding when you sit and look at them. And Tim Hasselbeck, I'll start with you as the quarterback in our group here. Like, I could make an argument that when you look at all the players they've lost and everything else, Lamar Jackson needs to be in the discussion for the most valuable players in the league, considering they're the number one seed. But then there's also a side of you that watches him play and you say, man, I kind of wonder what's wrong with him right now. So which side of that is the right side, Tim?
Well, here's the thing. He's a unique player, Greeny. And so it's kind of on both sides of that, to be honest with you. And that's why what you saw Sunday night is in some ways indicative of just the type of player that he is. You know, there's going to be moments where, you know, as a passer, he doesn't look like some of the top quarterbacks in the league. But what's interesting about him is he's got this athletic confidence about him where, you know, I think he's always experienced the ability to just make a ridiculous play, even if he's been struggling throughout, you know, throughout a game. And that was what happened the other night. Like, the end of the half could not have been worse. And then, you know, they find themselves in a critical situation. He gets zero blitz. The ball snapped on the 15. He literally retreated 20 yards, threw the football with an unblocked defender from 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage to Mark Andrews for a touchdown. And so I just think that he's that kind of player, that he just has the ability to, even if things have been bad, be able to just kind of press the reset button and go make a play. And that oftentimes is good enough for the Ravens because they are pretty good on the defensive side.
Yeah, that's the play that he's talking about right there, what proved to be the game-winning touchdown to Andrews. Booger, how about it? Like, what? How about Lamar and the Ravens at this point? They're the one seed in the AFC, and they're the team no one, except maybe Kimberly this morning, did a little bit, practically no one talks about. What do you think?
Yeah, because I think we all think that what he's doing is kind of unsustainable because he's the reason that they're 8-3, but he's also the reason they were in a dogfight against the Cleveland Browns throwing four interceptions the other night. So he has done a remarkable job, Greeny, of getting eight wins and getting his team to the position that they are. But I think I wonder, can it last? Can you continue pulling a rabbit out of the hat every single Sunday, especially when the parts around you are not playing well? We all think that Hollywood Brown and Bateman are going to be really competent receivers, but I haven't seen it consistently during the games. And so Lamar has got to be great. Like, he has got to be MVP Lamar, but when he's not, they're not a really good team. So as always, Greeny, the truth and the reality relies somewhere in the middle.
And so, Kmart, go ahead.
What? Okay. Why do we say the same thing? What Booger just said, we say that about Aaron Rodgers. Like, Aaron Rodgers has to be Aaron Rodgers or else the Packers, what are they going to do without him?
Yeah.
Don't shake your head, because yes, we do. Like, this team has lost so many players due to injury before week one even started.
Right.
Lamar coming back off an illness did not look good. That was a terrible game. But, and I even tweeted it, Mark Andrews, I don't know what the Ravens are paying him, but I know it's not enough because he is just that security blanket. But those two plays that we just showed, Lamar Fine and Andrews, those are the Patrick Mahomes type plays where it's like the play is never dead. Like, corners understand, like, we got to hold protect, like, we've got to keep guys blanketed for an extra 5-6 seconds because we know Lamar or Patrick can find some guys deep. Like, I don't understand what the criticism of Lamar is, why it's not sustainable. I mean, see these rabbits out of the hat. He's given it to us. Yes, he's human.
Like, I do understand the criticism. 4 interceptions is the criticism. So I think that the Lamar Jackson for MVP campaign, it died these last 2 weeks. I love Lamar Jackson, and I would have been one of the front runners for Lamar Jackson for MVP because he was managing to win games without all of his pieces there. But these last 2 weeks, where the Ravens won, they won
You're
in spite of Lamar. One, he didn't play. And in that last game, Mark Andrews made miraculous plays. Like,
who's
those were miraculous catches. That defense was outstanding.
Though?
Oh, come on. Now, the backpedaling, I'm just making the point. I'm going to heap praise on Lamar week after week, and he deserves it all the time.
Yeah.
But you cannot, no longer, these past 2 weeks, you can't say that Lamar Jackson put this team on his back, because one of the games, he didn't dress, and in the second game, he threw 4 interceptions and the defense shut down the opponent. So Lamar's great. He's special
in this game. The question wasn't about, is Lamar Jackson the MVP of the NFL right now? That wasn't the question, was it? No.
It wasn't. That's the question that I want to answer.
Well, who was jumping in there? Go ahead.
My show.
It's my show. It's a Greeny show.
Tim, go ahead.
The thing that I would say, guys, they don't have 8 wins. They don't have 8 wins without Lamar. But he's also been the reason for some of their losses. And Kmart, I love you, but let's not ever, ever, ever put Lamar Jackson on the same level with Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. I don't know about the other two, but in my mind, he's not there.
Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, here's the thing about it. It's going to be uneven. Like, we know that his game isn't, you know, as this amazing passer. That's not his game. What his game is oftentimes put the ball in his hands, and he is just one of the most unique athletes that we have ever seen play the position. And so his ability to, when things have been terrible, to just make that play is unique to him. There are very few guys that have had the ability, maybe none, to do some of the things he's able to do, like we saw Sunday night. And so if the rest of the team, meaning the defense, is just good enough, that's really all they need.
Maybe the fact that they are sitting where they are sitting is a testament to a lot of things, including just how good a coach they have as well. All right, as we continue, speaking of really good coaches, Mike Tomlin has seen enough. And he says the last thing you're expecting to hear about all the criticism coming from the outside toward his team. You need to hear this, and you will in a moment. Then, after everything that has gone on this season with Aaron Rodgers, is he about to win MVP again? We'll tell you what we think next. Just get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, we're back on Get Up. And the status of Aaron Rodgers' toe remains one of the biggest concerns in and outside of Green Bay. Rodgers and the Pack coming off an 8-point win over the Rams. They have a bye this week, and he was on Pat McAfee yesterday talking about potential toe surgery.
As compared this Monday to the last Monday, I definitely felt better, and same with this Tuesday to last Tuesday. So keep getting treatment, You know, we're hoping to avoid surgery, obviously, but the surgery would be such a minor one. It wouldn't be something that I'd have to miss time with. That's a prereq for any surgery that I have at this point. I'm not going to miss any time. So we'll kind of reassess early next week and make a decision. But it's not something where I could have surgery, you know, on a Monday or Tuesday and play on Sunday.
All right, so a couple of thoughts. As you see, Rodgers has vaulted his way very much into the MVP conversation there. He's got the second shortest odds of anybody behind Tom Brady. No coincidence, these are all quarterbacks that you see on their screen. But as we bring it out here, I want to make two quick points. The first of them is that sort of like in the story of Samson and Delilah, things are going well. I don't think I'd have cut all my hair and shaved my beard if I were Aaron Rodgers at this stage of the season when everything is going so well. That could be his strength. We'll see. Second, you know, Kimberly and I have this little game that we play where I'll say, tell me that you think I'm wrong. And I love it when you roll your eyes at me. So here it comes. 2 weeks removed from Aaron Rodgers basically joking on McAfee's show, he has no chance to ever be named MVP of the league again because of all of the controversy surrounding his vaccination stuff. Mm-hmm. I would argue I think he is the MVP of the league right now and is going to win it. Tell me I'm right or tell me I'm wrong.
Greeny, as much as I want to roll my eyes right now, because you know I do. No, I can't. I think he is the front runner right now because of how well he's playing despite the toe, despite the COVID. The Packers, they just aren't look like a complete team. They have all the pieces. Like, Aaron, it is Aaron Rodgers. You believe whenever he's in there, they got a chance to come back, put up 60, anything's on the table because he's just that good. So, yeah, I'll give you that.
You know, Tim Hasselbeck, just from a quarterback's perspective, I mean, I've been watching the game all my life. Obviously, you played the position. Three or four times routinely, every single week, he does something, and I say to myself, I've never seen anyone throw a ball like that. And you can include Dan Marino or Patrick Mahomes or anybody you want. Rodgers has made the spectacular so routine this year that sometimes things we don't appreciate it. That throw right there that we'll show you from three different angles to Randall Cobb is one of the look at this thing just get over by an inch and a half, the linebacker. And when you look at it from behind, look at this. There's three guys there, and he's sticking that ball. Why are you making that face?
I mean, because like he said a couple weeks ago, he said that assuming that because of his COVID situation that the writers were not going to vote for him for MVP. Because we were all upset at him.
Right.
So
his talent is so intoxicating that it doesn't matter what he says or does as long as he throws balls like that. Because I agreed with him. I think people were so upset that they may not vote for him. But then he goes and does this stuff like this in back-to-back weeks. And you're just like, it's undeniable.
So, Tim, I mean, just again, as a quarterback, you see that throw. And he makes like five of those a week. I've never seen anything like it.
Here's what I tell you. There are times that, you know, this was certainly the case. I just remember, especially being in the league the same time my brother was in the league, and you maybe watch a quarterback and you'd be like, wow, like that. Like, did you see this guy's throw this week? I don't think there's any question that that is probably going on throughout the league with certain quarterbacks, whether it's a throw Patrick Mahomes makes or something Lamar Jackson does. And to your point, Greeny, and as you were kind of talking about throws that he's made, I was actually picturing that throw to Randall Cobb in my head as you were setting it up, not knowing that that was a throw that you were thinking about. His ability to be accurate with the football when he is just kind of off platform and he looks like he maybe is just in the front yard playing catch is really incredible. And I'll put another thing on top of it. To do it when it's cold is even harder. And so, yeah, I think some of the things that he is doing, even in a league where we see all kinds of quarterbacks thriving, is just at another level of impressiveness.
And Booger, I'll give it to you on this thought. You know, you played in your career against his predecessor in Green Bay, Brett Favre, who also would make some of those throws that would stun you. But look at the numbers on your screen. Rodgers is a gunslinger without the downside. He has 23 touchdowns and four interceptions on the season. It is the opposite of what we have always traditionally associated with guys like that.
Yeah, Greeny, we often use the word gunslinger and use it very loosely. He's not a gunslinger. Like, he doesn't turn the football over. He is an accurate, precise passer that makes really calculated decisions based on his talent. He does not put the football in harm's way. Just look at the numbers you said. And you know what's amazing to me, Greeny, is that Tom Brady can throw two interceptions in back-to-back games with a bye week in between. And when all that's said and done, he has one performance against the Indianapolis Colts, and right now Vegas has him for the MVP. That just tells me that the MVP is very fluid. And I think right now Lamar Jackson is still in the conversation. But I agree, Aaron right now is the MVP, because if you take Aaron off that team, we think right now, Dom, you had him on your list as the Packers as the best team in the league. You take Aaron Rodgers off that list, off that team, they aren't in the top five or top 10. So that tells me right there, yeah, he's the most valuable player in football.
And one more thought to finish it up. Do you agree with me on the things are going pretty well here? Certainly any golfer knows you don't change things up when they're going well. It looks to me like he cut his hair, and he definitely shaved. Are you okay with that?
I would say that you don't want to tempt the gods. Unless you are one. And the way that he throws the ball sometimes, that man, because the point that you've been making is when you make highlights like that, that means that you've tried it five times and three times it works.
Right.
He tries it five times and it works five times. Three of those times it works, two might be interceptions. He doesn't have the interceptions. It's outrageous.
Go ahead, Tim. Final thought.
Well, here's the interesting thing about it. Go back 3 years plus this half season. 122 touchdown passes and 13 picks. Think of how absurd that touchdown to interception ratio is with what we're talking about. I mean, maybe this should draft his replacement a couple years ago.
I wonder how many of those interceptions were like tip balls and how many there were dropped interceptions, so we could get like a real number on it. And it might even be even more impressive, because I so rarely see Aaron Rodgers hit defenders in the chest with a ball.
So to me, he's the MVP of the league. In the meantime, let's talk about a team that is in sort of an entirely different situation, and that's the Steelers. They are 5-5-1 after a miserable 31-point loss in Cincinnati Sunday. Here's Mike Tomlin responding to our Ryan Clark. You're going to hear what RC said on this show Monday about this team and its lack of physicality. And then you're going to hear Tomlin's response. This was fascinating.
But they're not my beloved Steelers anymore. Nobody's scared to play this team. There's absolutely no physicality. There's no energy defensively. There's no tone setters. This Pittsburgh defense ain't jack. And I ain't talking about Jack Lambert. I ain't talking about Jack Ham. I'm talking about Jack, and you know the rest of the word. Y'all ain't that.
Guys that have been here, guys that have been in that room, guys that understand the standards that we aspire to, they probably have a better understanding of that than anybody that's not in that room right now.
That fascinated me. Mm-hmm. I mean, he took RC's side in this. Now, Kmart, you were there this weekend. You were there for the carnage that was that game. What is your takeaway?
I was also there week 17 last year when the Browns beat him. I was also there in the wild card round last year when the Browns beat him. I've seen this team not look like the Steelers that we're used to seeing. And for a guy as passionate as Mike Tomlin, a guy who despises the Bengals and all the other AFC North teams because he's been here so long and had to play through these rivalries, to see his team come out like that, and it's not just the whole team, because we had questions about Ben, we had questions about the O-line, we had questions about Najee's great, but with the O-line playing the way it does, can he be great? But it's the defense. Like, it's almost, if you're a Steelers fan, it's almost offensive. Because what are the Steelers known for? That physical brand of football. Like, knock your teeth in. Like, that's what we love about the Steelers. And for them, and right now they're ranked 23rd overall defense. That's the worst ranking since 1988 for this team.
Right. Culture is hard to build. And identity, it takes time. And the responsibility falls on the coach. It falls on the leaders of the team. And since it takes time to build and it's hard to build, it also takes time to break. And it's hard to break. And it's so shocking to me that they've done this over the course of several years. While some people were chirping from the sidelines saying, man, the Steelers look kind of soft, I was dismissing it because I understood that Steelers culture is hard and it's not going away.
Yeah.
But it feels like it's gone away. And they've been asleep at the wheel to some extent. And now Mike Tomlin is accepting that it's gone and wants to bring it back.
Like you said, I was at that game. The fact that Joe Mixon of the Bengals was running up through around that entire defense and talking smack on the sidelines, like that, like you can't have that if you're the Steelers.
He was flexing like at their sideline.
And talking to them.
Talking smack to them, Booger. I mean, now, you played on some great defenses. You know what that's like, and you know what it is to have that kind of pride and passion about what you do, and that seems to be missing right now in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Greeny, and you can't flip a switch and just get it back, to Dom's point. And this has been going on for 2 or 3 years. You know, you can't live every day soft, and then all of a sudden on game they show up and want to be tough. It just doesn't happen that way. Football's a bone-on-bone game, man. Like, you got to practice. In order to be physical, you got to practice being physical. And yeah, some of that's with the CBA and the rules have changed. I get all that. But if you go back 2 or 3 years, what have we said about the Steelers? What's been their biggest Achilles heel? They can't run the football. So they go out and they draft Najee Harris. They try to replace the offensive line. They try to get more physical. They haven't done that. So they recognize the problem, Greeny. The problem is you have habits in the game of football. And the habits have set in Pittsburgh. And Mike Tomlin knows this. That's why he's not really refuting what RC says, because he knows it. It's a different day and age. The game is now a passing game. The Steelers team that we're used to seeing back in the day, Dom, being physical, K-Mart being tough, running the football, I don't know if you can create that or recreate that now based on the rules of the CBA, based on how little time these guys have in pads, based on how these young players look at practice. Like, practice to them is like something we got to go through to get to the game, not a place where we go to get better.
Let me give Tim a final word. Go ahead, Timmy.
Yeah, everything Booger said was right about, you know, especially when you think about some of the things they were concerned about, which is why they drafted Najee Harris, which is why they were going to try to rebuild the offensive line. I think everyone saw that coming. The part that is surprising, and I think this is what Dominique was referring to, and I would probably fit in this category as well. They have so much speed on defense. You know, they've always played hard on defense. They're just, the culture defensively is a lot of what Ryan Clark is talking about. It's like, that's what the deal is if you're going to play defense for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the truth is, they haven't been good on defense. That, to me, has been the shocker in all of this. They can't stop people from running the football, and you saw Cincinnati run it right down their throat this past weekend.
It's hard to imagine, but a year ago today, they were 11-0. This would have been right around the time, because their game that they lost got rescheduled coming off of Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So they were 11-0 a year ago today, and look at the things that have happened ever since then. It's hard to believe. All right, we'll take a short break on that thought. We'll continue in a moment. We'll make our way to New England. It has been Mac and Ease in New England of late, and one of Mac's coaches said something yesterday that should probably scare everybody. You'll hear what it was right after this. It's Get Up on ESPN. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETravel at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETravel to save 20%. We're back on Get Up, and let's do Tim Hasselbeck's QB quick reads. Here's our first question, Tim. What's the best destination for Russell Wilson next year?
How about the New York Giants? Look, with all this talk about there maybe being a front office change in New York. Look at, you know, the way that Daniel Jones has played, been injured, and things have gone there. Some pressure in New York, a market that he probably would like to be in after being in Seattle for so long. So, look, it's early. I'm sure we'll talk about it all offseason, but how about the Giants as a potential landing spot for Russell Wilson?
They've got 2 first-round picks as well. Jalen Hurts, is he the long-term answer at quarterback in Philly?
I actually don't believe that he is, and it's a little bit of a struggle for me to say that because I think he's a really, really good football player, and I just feel like there is a limit to what we're going to see from him in the passing game. So you look at weekends like this past weekend, the struggle that is, I think it's just hard in a passing league to have moments like that and survive as a long-term answer.
Last one, do you trust Mac Jones to lead the Patriots to a Super Bowl?
I do, because he's playing so well pre-snap. I mean, his understanding and command of what they are doing is that of a veteran. And so if you say, okay, well, will he hold them back because the rest of the roster is good? I don't believe that he will. And so the answer is, yeah, I think he is playing well enough if he stays at this current rate and level that he's playing at right now.
No, he's playing great. And according to his offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniel, he can play even better. Take a listen to this.
There's a lot to be happy with, and then there's definitely things to coach and correct. You know, I'm still waiting for the perfect game. Haven't had that yet. So we are seeing growth in his ability to process the opponent every week.
All right, so those are a lot of words that I think people probably hear thrown around all the time, and they think, yeah, I think I know what that means. Tim can actually show you. When they say he's playing like a veteran, he is processing so quickly, show everybody exactly what that means.
Well, and the word that keeps coming up is command. And command means, like, you don't just know what everyone's doing. Like, you have complete control over. Here's a good example. Jakobi Meyers in the slot as they shift the back out to empty. Meyers thinks he's hot off of this defender. So he's pointing to him like, hey, Mac, if he comes, I'm hot, right? Mac's like, no, I'm resetting the protection. You're hot off of Amani Hooker, the secondary player. He's like, wait, who? Not, okay, that guy's got his hand on the ground. All right, I'm going to run my route unless Amani Hooker ends up coming. He doesn't come. Run your route. Ball goes to Meyers on a first and 10 play. They get a first down. Very similar situation. Corner was over. It's Janoris Jenkins. They move Meyers over. All right, he alerts the play because he knows when the tight end is blocking in man coverage, they're going to key blitz, and they're going to get Jonnu Smith to out-leverage the defense. He bluffs the block, gets out in space, and once again, because Mac Jones gets him into the right play, is kind of the traffic cop before the snap is ever, you know, the ball is ever snapped. On another first and 10 play, they get a first down. He is at the line of scrimmage playing the way we talk about Dak Prescott or Aaron Rodgers. Guys that are so good before the ball's ever snapped to help their offense, that's what he's doing in New England. So this idea that they've made it easy for him or are hiding him or helping him, I just don't believe that that's the case.
Booger, what are we seeing here? We sat there when he got drafted. Four other quarterbacks went before he did. What are we seeing the beginning of here with Mac Jones in New England?
Greeny, we're seeing a young man who people didn't draft him because he wasn't 6'6 and 240 and ran 4'5 like a Trevor Lawrence. He wasn't running 4'4 with a six-pack like Justin Fields. He didn't wow you like Trey Lance did. Those are things that we did not see. What we saw, Greeny, was a guy that could process information, that could make the correct throws, that could throw the football accurate, that could do all those things, and he did them at a high level, and he did it with a plethora of talent around him at the University of Alabama. So we are just seeing that couple with Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick in a defense that was retooled in the offseason. So yeah, Greeny, they can beat anybody. I think they're going to win the AFC East, not because of Mac Jones, but they're going to win it because he's playing at a high level on a really, really good team.
Yeah, they have the Bills this coming Monday. They actually play them twice in the next 3 weeks. What do you think, Nick? Are you surprised at just how good it has been?
I'm not surprised. I think it was the last preseason game when I saw how good he could be and how quick he could think in that red zone series. So I'm impressed with him so far, and I think that everything is said is right, but they're giving him a little more every week to take on. And I don't think that they expected him to be able to process all this stuff as quickly as he has, but he has been able to do it. We haven't gotten to a point where he's capable of winning a shootout, but most quarterbacks aren't capable of winning a shootout, and they're not going to ask him to do that.
Yeah, league execs actually are somewhat surprised that he's developed to this point this quickly. Because heading into the draft, we all knew that he's smart. Mental processing, that was the buzzword. That was the thing. He's somebody that, Boog mentioned it earlier, in the midst of chaos, he's calm. Nothing is too big. The stage is not too big. But what has surprised people is just the fact that he's this far advanced. Like, we're 13 weeks into his first season, and he's doing things that veteran quarterbacks aren't doing. He knows exactly where to go with the football, and he's helping his team win. He's not a deterrent.
And he hasn't had his bye yet either. They have Buffalo, then a bye, then the Colts, then the Bills again, and then two very winnable games at the end. We will see. The Patriots could be heading towards something special in the rookie season of their new quarterback. Meanwhile, let me get up and go here. Bunch of stuff to cover this morning, including Major League Baseball and the Players Association, who are now no closer to a new collective bargaining agreement as the two sides have been meeting in Texas. The labor agreement expires tonight, just before midnight, 11:59 Eastern time. A lockout feels like a very real possibility. In fact, at this point, I would describe it as probable. Elsewhere, LeBron James has entered the NBA's health and safety protocols. He's expected to miss several games. Anthony Davis said LeBron told him he felt good and was asymptomatic. Without him, the Lakers did beat Sacramento last night. And as we showed you earlier, number one Duke went down last night, losing to Ohio State. Buckeyes rallied from 15 points down in the second half to win it by 5. Duke was held scoreless in the final 4.5 minutes of the game. That was part of the 23rd annual Big Ten ACC Challenge, which rolls out tonight with Louisville taking on Michigan State. And then we got Michigan taking on North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Should be great. All the action is on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Coming up top of the hour, First Take. Should the Warriors fear the Suns? Plus, should the Cowboys be on upset alert? First Take, Molly, Stephen A., Marcus Spears, Jay Will, all on the way here on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we've got another star-studded NBA Friday doubleheader. Kicking off your weekend on Friday night, Joel Embiid and the Sixers taking on Trae Young and the Hawks. That's our early game, 7:30 Eastern. And then we'll have Paul George and the Clippers facing Anthony Davis and the Lakers, the battle for L.A. We'll start your coverage 7 Eastern with NBA Countdown. That's all coming your way Friday night here on ESPN. All right, I want to get to the bottom of this thing again here. This is from the Minnesota Wild game. They take all the used beer cups and they make it into a cup snake. And this thing just never stops going.
I love it.
That's impressive. Wasn't it an XFL? Hey, didn't they start doing it?
Hey, Greeny.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you live in Minnesota and it's 2 degrees outside. You have to come up with creative things inside to entertain yourself. I can guarantee you one thing you'll never see. In the state of Florida, where it's 75 degrees right now, and I'm about to head to the golf course, you will never, ever see a snake cup anywhere.
That's fair enough. I've seen a lot of snakes in Florida. I've never seen a snake cup in the state of Florida. Okay, one more thing. What? We've done some detective work. We did a little reporting. This is the kind of hard-hitting investigative reporting that we do on this show. So this looks like Aaron Rodgers not only shaved his beard, but cut his hair. Ooh. I can confirm he does not appear to have cut his hair. Oh. We have a side angle here, I think, that we can show you. Looks like he's still got the hair.
He got the greasy
Samson
ponytail.
Samson lives.
Got it. We got it, guys.
But I'm telling
it looks shorter, though. It looks a little shorter.
If everything is going that well, are you shaving the beard? I mean, things are going awfully well. Does that feel like risky?
I mean, you can't mess this face up. So I, as far as I'm concerned, Aaron Rodgers, one thing, but I'll shave it, cut it, grow it, don't matter. Still fine as hell.
Tim, Justin Herbert learned not to cut his hair. So.
Hey, listen. In terms of the hair, grow it while you got it, baby. Okay? There's no reason to cut it. Grow it while you got it.
That's a perfect way to finish. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.